Skateboarding is such an extremely creative art or endeavor, whatever you want to call it. There are all of these things within the culture that you do. You know, as a skateboarder, we don't really think about it as being those things, but you're also a photographer, you're also a filmmaker, you're also designing, you know, things for your company or your crew. You're also branding yourself without even realizing all of this stuff. I think I started to realize that that's, you know, what I was doing. I started to really just work and study people who are actually doing those things at a higher level, like actual real photographers or a real filmmaker, a real branding person or a real marketing guy, just so that I could get more ideas so that I can make my skateboarding better. And whatever I was creating around my skateboarding, I wanted it to be better.
Welcome to episode 18 of the Kodak Projects podcast. This week we're talking to Doug Miles Jr., pro skateboarder, filmmaker, and res activist. We talk about how he grew up on a reservation and getting into skateboarding and traveling, starting his brand in Delica, and raising money through the Apache Passion Project to help build skate parks on reservation land. He has a GoFundMe set up. You can check that out. Just look up the Apache Passion Project on GoFundMe. I hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hello, my name is Doug Miles Jr. I am a professional skateboarder, entrepreneur, and father.
Okay, cool. And then I also have down here that you're a filmmaker.
Oh yeah, I'm also a filmmaker. Can I redo that?
Yeah. Well, no, I just want to make sure, like, because that's what I had seen, and I was trying to find out more about that part of what you do, but maybe we can get into that later. But first, just start at the beginning. Like, where did you grow up? Because that's a different story than most of the people listening are familiar with, I'm sure. And then how did you get into skateboarding?
Well, I grew up on an Apache reservation in a town called San Carlos, Arizona. And I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. I grew up there in San Carlos, and it's a reservation. You know, it's a lot of the stuff that you hear is probably kind of true, but a lot of it isn't. It's good. It's a dusty place. You're in the desert of Arizona, cactus everywhere, dirt roads, and you know, I'm just a kid, and I'm just being a kid. But you know, there's one thing though that really helped, that really influenced my life when I was a kid. My dad, my father is a really well-known artist. So, growing up, he had an art career, and he wasn't well-known when I was a kid. When I was just growing up, he was just coming up, so he was like, he was trying to work hard and do his thing, and he would take me on the road, and we'd go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he would try to sell his art at art shows.
Okay.
But he would always be making art at home. And then when I was about 12, he started a company called Apache Skateboards. And okay. Yeah, that's kind of like, kind of my background story.
Well, did your father skateboard, or did he see it as another way to just kind of express his art?
Both. I think both, Anthony. He skated when he was younger, and what really got him into making the skateboards was I was skateboarding before he did that.
Okay.
So I had started skateboarding at 12, and then he, being an artist, was like, hey, I'm gonna design a skateboard for my son. And this story is out there too. You can find it on the internet. There's a lot of people that have covered that story. But yeah. He wanted to make this skateboard for me, and he started that company, that brand called Apache Skateboards. So that was dope. He painted a board for me, and I skated with all the homies in my little town. And they were stoked, dude. It was like an Apache warrior on a blue background, and dude, people were stoked. They had never seen that, and you know, that was kind of the start of my career too.
Well, that sounds pretty sick. So I have to ask, like, and this probably leads into what you've been doing with the Apache Passion Project, but kind of like, I wouldn't imagine there's like, even in my small town where I grew up, I mean, there was places to skate, but there was no skate parks. You know, I'm a bit older than you. I'm almost 47. So,
okay.
Yeah. So we didn't really have skate parks, but we did have, you know, lots of empty parking lots with curbs and stuff like that. What was available for you where you were growing up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had curbs just like you. That's what we skated. They have buildings there, you know, there's a post office and
yeah,
there's government buildings, and that's where we would skate. There would be curbs out front, and those are the only places in our town though that had cement. Everything else is really dirt roads.
Okay.
And those were where we would skate. We'd slash the curbs, we'd grind them up, you know. I'm sure you did the same thing.
Yeah.
Like we just go over there with my friends, and we just walk around the town and just hang out. And that's like the cool thing about skating is like, you just go and out with your friends and walk around and explore and skate.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, go ahead.
But yeah, there really isn't a lot of the places to skate though. Like any town you go in, you'll find spots, but there isn't a lot.
Well, I just would imagine. I mean, obviously, you're a professional. You've made it to a pretty high level. It's hard to do that with only being able to skate curbs. Did you start venturing out of, like, out and traveling around and going to like contests and different parks in the where you could get to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once my father, he started that company. And we went touring, like we would tour like a regular skate brand would. So I traveled around this nation to different skate, reservations. And we had demos, and we skated and we filmed. The thing about skating is like, you're really just trying to film what you got and post it and show people what it is. And if people are excited about it and they watch you, then, you know, companies and brands get excited, you know, that you might be able to, I guess, sell some product, or, you know, like if you're a really good skater, you know, kids really want to buy what you're skating, basically.
Right. Right. It's the same kind of deal that it's always been. I'm guessing that's how you got hooked up with your sponsors. And who are your sponsors at the moment? Is it Real and Spitfire, is that who you're?
Yeah, Real Skateboards, Spitfire Wheels, Thunder Trucks, Altamont Clothing, and Converse Shoes, and who else? Indelica is my company, which I ride for, obviously.
Right, right. But, and that's your brand?
Yeah, that's my brand, and that is fairly new, but I just really wanted to skate. I loved it. I fell in love with it, Anthony. Like I just couldn't stop doing it, you know. And I was into sports, and then I stopped playing sports because I wanted to skate, and I would skate through high school, and I made videos. All my friends ended up going to college, right? I didn't go to college. I mean, I did like later on, but when they started going, like right out of high school, then that's when I went into the city and started skating, because I would go and visit them while they were at college and they would still be skating. But I would go stay at their house because they would live out there. I'd sleep on their couch and I would just be out there skating, filming, partying, whatever it was. And that's kind of where I kind of really started, you know, making new friends out there in the city. And there's a bigger skate scene in the city. So it was cool, man. That was cool.
And then that got you into, so skateboarding, like a lot of times, I mean, it opens up the world for people, you know, like you get into doing, you know, you're exposed to art and different types of music and filmmaking. And I'm guessing sounds like that's how that led into the filmmaking part of your life. So, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh yeah, for sure. The filmmaking comes from skateboarding because skateboarding is such an extremely creative art or endeavor, whatever you want to call it. And there are all of these things within the culture that you do that, you know, as a skateboarder, we don't really think about it as being those things, but you're also a photographer. You're also a filmmaker. You're also designing, you know, things for your company or your crew. You're also branding yourself without even realizing all of this stuff. And I think I started to realize that that's, you know, what I was doing. And I started to really just work and study people who are actually doing those things at a higher level, like actual real photographers or a real filmmaker, a real branding person or a real marketing guy. And just so that I could get more ideas so that I can make my skateboarding better, and whatever I was creating around my skateboarding, I wanted it to be better. So I wanted to learn all of those little facets and things. And, as a filmmaker, like I said, my father, he's a really well-known artist, and he, growing up, he had, there would be film crews that would want to do like little documentaries on him. And us, obviously, growing up skating on the reservation, and dude, these films really inspired me. Like, I would watch them and I would be like, man, that was, you know, it inspired me, made me feel some type of way, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to do that too, because it just was cool. It just looked cool. You know, I wanted to make some cool stuff too. And that's kind of really.
Yeah. What can you want to talk about some of the films you've made?
I've made a short film for the Apache Passion Project.
Right.
I also would make short films, dude, since I was a little kid, man. I would make skate videos. There's skate videos online on YouTube. If you look up Apache skateboards, I made some of those. We just did a little like music video for this guy, and his name is Sebastian Robertson.
Okay.
And his father is Robbie Robertson he's like a really famous rock star dude. Robbie Robertson. Yeah. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah, it definitely sounds familiar. It's not necessarily in my library, but that name mm-hmm. is familiar. And
yeah, so we did a film for him. And then we just do films. Like, I did one with my father, and he painted this huge mural, and I shot that one for One Arizona, which is some other company, but. Yeah, dude, I just like making things look cool, and there isn't a lot of filmmaking coming out of native country. Like, there is some, but there's not a lot. You know, there's a lot of stories that haven't been told from a Native American perspective, and I think it's cool, you know, and I think it's rad. So
right.
I like what, you know, that's kind of what I do. That's really it.
No, that's great. So we've mentioned it a couple times now, the Apache Passion Project. Let's talk about what I like about, well, there's a lot of things I like about, but one of the big things when I was, you know, I heard you being interviewed by Ram on his podcast for the Cadence.
Oh yeah.
And one of the big things that you guys touched on, which I'm big on, is the fact that you didn't ask permission to do any of this. It doesn't seem like you weren't seeking permission. You took it upon yourself to go out and make things happen because no one else was going to do it. So, do you want to speak to that a little bit? Like, maybe first we should explain what the project is and what it's about.
Okay. So the project, the Apache Passion Project, it's a fundraiser to raise $50,000 so that we can build a skate park here in White River, Arizona, on the Apache Reservation. There is no skate park here, and there's a big skate scene here. The nearest skate park is an hour away, So I just, you know, I knew a little bit of how to build a skate park. So I was like, I can do this. Let's do this. You know, it's way past due to build a skate park here. And we got the fundraiser together. It's going on right now, and we will build a skate park here. But yeah, there's a lot of different things, you know, like why the skate park is good and all that too. But that's what it's about. It's just, we're going to build a skate park here. Mm-hmm.
And what are the different things, like what are some of the hurdles you've had to overcome to get this off the ground? When did you actually start this project?
We started last year, maybe in October or November. Okay. We did our initial fundraiser of 3,000, and we raised the 3,000, and we built the mini ramp here on the reservation here for the kids. And I wanted to do it even bigger. Like, I know we could build a skate park. I just know there's people out there that would love to support it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like skaters helping skaters, or like even like just people who want to see that happen. Like, I just know that people want to support it. And I know that it's a good thing to build a skate park here. I think some of the problems that happen is like people in the community, they don't, they think it's stupid. They think, like, there's some people that think it's dumb. Like, no, we don't need a skate park here. What are you doing that for? But I think that's really the big hurdle right now, because, you know, I want to do it for the community, and I do want my community to be psyched about it too. And most of them are psyched about it. So just a few that don't like it. That's all.
Yeah. Just kind of trying to change their perspective and showing them the value.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you think there's value in it. Like, why do you think there's so much value in skateboarding for the community? Like, obviously you love doing it and it's fun. Like, I totally get that. But you could, at this point, probably you don't need it. You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. it's for the community more than it is for you. Why mm-hmm. is that so important to you?
I just know that I need a, like, you gotta just do things, you know, like, here, we have like, whatever, like 70% unemployment rate. There is no, there are no jobs here. There are no businesses here. Now, and that's, you know, that's okay. That's fine. That's whatever. But I know that when these kids and they get hit, when they can get hit to what they're doing, like what they're filmmaking, they're shooting social media and they're creating content, they're taking pictures, they're skateboarding, they're marketing, they're promoting, they're branding themselves, they're doing all of this stuff, that if, you know, I just want them to realize that, you know, these are opportunities too. These are talents that they're going to be able to work on, get good at, and possibly for sure get hired to do it for somebody else or start their own business. And because we need that here, like there are no businesses here. And I see like just what there isn't. And then I see what there could be. And I know where I could fit in to help to bring that to happen. If that makes sense. And for sure, that's kind of just, you know, that's kind of what I want to do too. But at the same time, they don't have to do that. They can just skate and have fun. You know, that's just kind of how I think about it.
Right. And I think when you're skateboarding, like, you know, when you're younger, you don't think about things too much, like mm-hmm. like what the life lessons are going to be. You know, you're just out there having fun. But in hindsight, I think anyone who's ever skated for any period of time or done any similar type, you know, sport, you know, whether it's BMX or snowboarding or rollerblading. Like mm-hmm. you look at the yeah. world, it teaches you to look at the world in a different way. And it also, you know, it teaches you perseverance. Like you're out there on your own trying to like learn how to ollie or kickflip. And it's hours and hours and hours of practice before you figure it out for most people, you know?
Oh yeah.
You know, and you're setting a goal and you're achieving it. And like a lot of those types of lessons people see in traditional sports, but they don't, you know, like you said, skateboarding, they just look kind of look down on. So like, even in like, mm-hmm. like the rest of the country is a lot more fortunate maybe than where you guys have it, where it's like in my town, we had like sports fields and things. And I don't know if you had that there, but they were more than willing to put up a new basketball court. But if we asked them for a skate park, it was like, you know, out of the question. We had to go around mm-hmm. and raise the funds, you know, stand outside the grocery store with a fundraising thing. And it took probably 5-6 years for us to get a skate park in our town. And it was all us mm-hmm. working it. So I have a understanding of what you're going through. I think even it was probably more difficult for you than it was for us, even, you know, whatever that was 40 years ago, long time ago. But yeah, it sounds crazy to say that out loud, but you know, I was 16, so that was like 30 years ago.
Where was that at? Where were you at?
That was in Massachusetts, North Andover, Massachusetts. So nowadays there's a skate okay. park, and there's like multiple skate parks all over the place, you know? But when I was a kid, mm-hmm. there wasn't. So I understand. I'm not saying it's not the same at all, but there's similarities. Like no one's really going to make it happen for you, so you have to go out there and do it. And you know, that was another question I had about like, were you able to like to get land? I mean, how did you get them to let you have a space to do it, to actually build things?
That's funny, man, because we haven't yet. We haven't even got to that part yet. Yeah, I'm doing all of this on just on faith. Like, I'm gonna make it happen. It's gonna happen because I just gotta talk to some people. So the next step after we raise the money is I'm gonna talk with our council, which is like our like a president or like a mayor. You talk to him and, you know, tell him that you raised this amount of money and the kids want to build a skate park. And tell him, you know, just tell him, ask him, like, where can we build it? Can we build it somewhere here around here? And right. at the same time, I had talked to the vice chairman here, which is like whatever the vice mayor or something. He's the vice chairman here. I had spoken to him like 6 months ago about building a skate park. And then, not 6 months ago. It was right before COVID. And he was down for it. He was like, yeah, we got to build a skate park. It'd be cool. It'd be a great idea. Let's just keep talking about it and see what happens. But then COVID came and that hit. And it hit our community super hard.
Like, yeah.
One of the highest rates of COVID here and deaths here. So they're worried about all of that. They're worried about that. They're not worried about a skate park.
Right.
So I just still wanted to build a skate park. So I took it upon myself to do it and let them do their job with the community and do the COVID stuff.
Right.
But yeah, man, we're going to build it. We'll get the land.
Mm-hmm. But I thought you had built a mini ramp. Was that something you just... Did I misunderstand?
Oh yeah, we built the mini ramp.
Okay.
No, we built the mini ramp. The kids here, they have the skaters here, they have this place where they skate. It's the foundation of an old building, and they put their ramps there, and they build their own ramps there.
Okay.
And I just brought the mini ramp there, and we built it, and we brought it over, and we just set it up over there.
All right. That's not, yeah. I mean, it's funny because that's the type of thing we used to do and you see mm-hmm, people yep. doing that still nowadays, but it was a lot more you know, we'd find just a corner, mm-hmm. like under an overpass or something, like a highway overpass that was paved, but it would stay dry. Kids would just build ramps and bring them there and, you know, set up all kinds of to me, those were like the funnest types of places. 'Cause they mm-hmm. weren't as pristine. Like a lot of the parks nowadays are just too, they're a little too perfect. I like to mm-hmm. kind of hack together, like stuff that, you know, you just kind of throw stuff together and improvise.
Yeah. You like the crust, huh?
I do.
Like a little bit of crustiness. Yeah.
Yeah. You need a little bit of a challenge.
Man.
I don't know.
You can't be riding smooth ground. Exactly. You can't be too smooth all the time, man.
But, so you had a GoFundMe and that first round went well and you raised the 3,000 and so you have mm-hmm. another one going currently?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We have a $50,000 one right now.
Okay. And mm-hmm. I know that you've it's really pretty early into the process, but do you have like a bigger vision for this? Like, is this something that you would like to expand at all to, like, you know, other mm-hmm. reservations?
Yeah. Yeah, we would love to expand this to other reservations, not only skate parks, but also to build and to start, not training. We want to do like filmmaking workshops or whatever, or even just provide the skate. Each skate community and each reservation camera gear. If we can supply them with camera gear, cameras, a computer, a little bit of software, and let them do their own thing and create their own scene there and put out their own content on the internet, that is very helpful to a lot of people.
Right.
That alone is very powerful for a community.
It's just,
and just to be able to do that, you know what I'm saying? Do you kind of get it?
I totally get what you're saying. You're spreading the word of skateboarding, but like not just the act of skateboarding, the whole creative process and everything that's mm-hmm. kind of encompasses it. That, you know, so, you know, like we had touched on earlier, you know, it leads to filmmaking and branding and design and like all types of like all these like skills that that will get you, you know, could get you a job or just help in life in general, like whether you want to start your own thing or work for someone else. You know, I think that's, mm-hmm. those are all really valuable lessons to learn. And a lot of times, you know, you would think you would learn that stuff in school or just mm-hmm. somewhere else, but it doesn't really happen because it's not packaged in a way that's attractive sometimes. It just seems like a mm-hmm. something that you like a lesson that you need to go and study. Whereas through skateboarding, it just kind of you absorb it, you know.
You know. Yeah, yeah. You absorb it because you love what you're doing. Right. Are you a musician too, Anthony? Or
well, I can't play an instrument to save my life, but I did sing in a hardcore band. And then I'm a filmmaker and just. I don't know.
Hell yeah.
All around type stuff like that. Yeah. But
creative person. You're mm-hmm.
I try. I can't draw. I can't do, you know, your typical things, you know, that you would think of, but I try to get it out there in one way or another. But yeah, I mean,
sick.
I know like just coming up skateboarding, you would see what different brands were doing. And then all of a sudden one brand would like spawn this other brand. And like, you learn like, oh, well it's the same company, but it's just a different, mm-hmm. if it's a different aesthetic, like it's an imprint. Like I never would have even understood that concept probably if it wasn't for skateboarding.
You
know, so there's lots of lessons to be learned. I think it's great, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of that stuff out there. And, the mainstream skate culture, they don't talk about that stuff and they don't want to talk about that stuff. For whatever reason, they, you know, for whatever reason. But I just think it would be cool, you know, if kids knew that that's what was going on. And if they want to be good skateboarders, they're going to have to learn how to take a good photo, you know, or they're going to have to find someone that can take a good photo of them in their community, or, you know, a good filmer, a good filmmaker that can shoot the right angle of this and make it look good, you know, because, you know, your mom's not going to shoot a good skateboard.
Right. Yeah. And these
it's
days,
it's going to be cool. It's going to look sick.
I mean, yeah. These days that's how you get noticed, right? Especially with COVID, there's not like big, there's no like contests to go to. Right. So it's all social media. And whether that's, you know, whether that's skateboarding or later on doing it for like some other type of brand. That's important skills. For sure.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to hopefully it gets back to normal, but I'm not sure, man.
Yeah. I'm not holding my breath.
Hopefully we can skate.
But I was going to say, you know, that was kind of, yeah, leads over. I was going to ask you about how skating kind of the whole like DIY kind of aspect influenced your path in life. And I think we've sort of covered that, but what we didn't talk about, is it Indelica? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah. Indelica.
Indelica.
Yep.
So that's fairly new.
Yeah. Indelica is, it's about a year or two old.
Okay.
I've just been really trying to push it as hard as I can right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing that skateboarding teaches you. Like, you know, most, at least the small, maybe not the bigger brands these days, but like some of the smaller brands and even the bigger brands, they started it, even Vans at some point was a small, like skate owned brand, you know, they're huge now, but, lots of the brands started that way. And I think you, whether you're aware of it or not, like you pick up on that, you know, and it makes it seem relatable and like attainable, like something you could do yourself. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
Which is another lesson, like I think you could use to spread the word. So how is Indelica going? Like, is that do you have a small team together?
Indelica is, it's really small, man. It's just, it's me and one of my friends. He is on the team. He skates for the company. His name is Elijah Albert.
Okay.
And right now it's all fun, man. We like to, you know, we want to make our own stuff and, you know, rep our own stuff and wear our own clothes. And, you know, we want to make something and we don't really want to consume. I mean, we want to consume other people's stuff too. Like we want to buy stuff, but at the same time, we want to create something from our perspective and from our, you know, that's just fun. You know, I mean, if you like clothes and you like making them, I just like making clothes, dude. I like looking good and I like, I just fascinated by it and I like it.
What kinds of stuff are you making? Are you like,
Oh,
go ahead.
So mostly just like clothes. So I make hats. It started out as a hat company.
Oh, wow.
I made a few hats. Mm-hmm. I just made a few runs of hats, bought a few wholesale hats online, designed a little design on it, took it to my local embroiderer. They embroidered it.
Okay.
And then I sold it online. Oh, I would sell it online. I would just post it on my social media and, hey, I got these hats. Try to promote it in my skateboarding. It's all because of skateboarding though. Like,
right.
I just want to look cool. Like for some reason, I just want to look cool on a skateboard. And it's really, so I want to like make these cool clothes and really just make skateboarding the way that I wish I would have saw it as a kid. Like, oh, I wish there was a skateboarder like this. And so I try to do that. And that's, I like that. That's fun to me.
No, I get it. I mean, mm-hmm. Nothing that I did ever really took off because I had ADD or just, I just lost focus, but I used to always, I probably had like five different like little t-shirt brands over the really? Years that, you know, I just like making t-shirts, and I'm now with what I'm doing, I'm trying to make some more t-shirts. I actually have someone helping them. I have got my friend Matt over at Triumph Screen Printing is making my shirts now, and he's helping me, like, because I'm trying to relearn how to do it, because I really haven't done it in about 20 years, and I'm trying to get back, buying some equipment and just getting into screen printing again, because like I could easily have him just do them for me for way less hassle, but I like the act of making them, and maybe it's because I sit behind a computer most of the day, you know, like the physical act of making something with my hands, like I miss that, you know, because I just, you know, I love filmmaking and design and all that kind of stuff, but it's so much computer oriented that it's nice to just kind of like do something with your hands sometimes, you know. But I wanted to have this bigger umbrella so I could do that, but I wanted to do this podcast, and then I wanted to just do all whatever stupid little, or not so not stupid, but whatever project crazy idea comes into my mind, I wanted a way to kind of like contain it under the same umbrella, you know. So that's what this is about, because otherwise I'm just doing random stuff and throwing it out in the universe, you know, and it just doesn't, you know. So that's what this is about. So like, you know, part of what I'm doing is I want to make t-shirts, so and then, you know, who knows, like I think I'm gonna make a zine that goes along with it. It's all really like punk hardcore BMX skateboarding, like those kind of like DIY counterculture, subculture, whatever you want to call it, worlds, because that's what I'm familiar with, that's what I like, you know, that's what I love. I came up doing all those things, and you know, if it
exactly dude.
If you sell a couple, cool. If you sell a couple hundred, awesome, you know. But like if it's not something that has to be some huge monetary success, it's more about just being fulfilled, you know. So that's the idea.
I know what you mean, man. Heck yeah, dude, I'm gonna check that out. I'll probably, what do you watch, where can you watch that documentary?
So I could, it's on Vimeo right now. You can watch it on it's on Vimeo. It's Vimeo on demand. I can send you a link. I'll hook you up with it.
Okay. It's not out yet.
It's out, but I'm working on it with a distributor to get it out like wider. But right now it's like, it's on the site called Gumroad. You can either buy it there, or you can buy it on Vimeo. But I'll get something to you so you can, we'll make you pay for it, cause I want you to check it out. But that's done pretty well, but I'm just trying to get it out to a wider audience now. But I think it's got a good message, you know, like I think, and it's not me, it's comes from the four guys that I mentioned, like they have really good stuff to say, you know, it's pretty inspirational, I think.
And, dude.
It's really inspired me to do this, you know? So it's one of those things that I started with just a small idea, and it's starting to grow. So I'm pretty happy with it so far. But you
dude.
And I get to
talk. That's exciting.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I get to talk to people like you, which, you know, how else would that happen? So, you know, especially with COVID.
I know. That's the podcast during COVID is a good idea. I wish I would have done a podcast, or I want to do a podcast. I might still do it, but just like talking to my friends, you know. But it's a lot of work, dude. I feel like a podcast would be like so much work.
It's a good amount of work. It is. It's like I tried doing one. I had done one like 5 years ago, and it was a lot more work then. Like things have gotten easier. You know, there's a site called Anchor, which I use that makes it pretty easy to upload, and because it used to be all like RSS feeds and like coding, and like you had to use like four different services to link everything up and make it happen. And now it's just kind of rolled into one thing, and it's free. But you know, the work comes in, you know, you still have to get in touch with people and schedule guests, and you know, if there's any editing that needs to be done. I try not to do too much editing in these because that was my other issue when why I stopped doing the other one I was doing, because, you know, I was spending so much time editing them down.
Yeah.
And then I realized it's not that important, you know. It doesn't have to be super tight. Just try to keep it more conversational.
Oh, yeah, dude. The editing could take... That's really what takes the most time of anything.
Yeah. And I get obsessive with it because I'm a editor. Like, that's, you know, my day job. So I'm just like... But it's...
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, dude.
Yeah. It can get a little crazy.
Thanks, man. Oh, yeah. And the big news, I didn't tell you guys, but we just got our... my bad.
No,
we just
got
our biggest single donation just before this call of $14,000.
Wow.
Was donated by the awesome people at Pigeon Skate Shop. And they're really, really heavy in not the skateboarding scene, but they're really heavy in the roller skating scene.
Oh, okay.
And that's a whole thing on its own. That's a whole monster on its own. But they really came through, and they're going to donate $14,000. So we're excited about that. Yeah, dude. Oh, super stoked on that.
I didn't even realize like roller skating was that big of a thing still these days.
Yeah, they have their own scene, dude. It's like their own. Yeah, it's like their own little beast over there. They get gnarly.
That's awesome. Well,
so yeah, that's the good news.
Yeah,
so we're almost
great.
There. Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. Obviously, I want to send people to the right place to support the project. But do you want to bring up anything else that we haven't talked about?
I think we hit it all. I think people can get to the GoFundMe through my Instagram. Maybe you could plug my Instagram when you post your
video.
Yeah,
for sure. But so why don't we do this? So Doug, why don't you tell people where they can follow you and learn more about the project?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Steezy Apache. You can also follow me on Facebook at Douglas Miles Jr. And yeah, man, come and check out the content. That we're doing a lot of Apache Passion Project content right now, and just trying to get that skate park built for the skaters out here, and that's really what the focus is right now. And you can get all the Indelica gear over on our website at indelica.com. Go and check it out and check out our gear if you're feeling it, you know, pick some up. But awesome, yeah, man, come through. I'm definitely skating on there if you like skating. I'm always trying to do the skating from where I come from, so it's different, so you come check it out.
Awesome, that sounds great. Well, Doug, thanks so much for talking to me. Hopefully we'll get lots of people over there to contribute to the project. I'm going to go over there myself when we get off of here and leave something.
Thanks,
and,
man.
You know, I'll do what I can. And yeah, it was great talking to you.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Doug Miles Jr. Again, if you can contribute to the GoFundMe, I know it would really mean a lot to him and help spread the word of skateboarding, because it does a lot of good in this world. If you want to continue to support us, what we really need is help in spreading the word. So if you could take a screenshot of the podcast or the docuseries Don't Stand in Line, post it up on your Instagram stories or in your feed and just tag us in it. You know, make sure you tag at Kodak Projects so we see it. And, you know, that would really help a lot. It helps just get the word out there. Also, don't forget, if you're looking for some quality screen printing, please check out Triumph Printing Company. You can find them at Instagram and Facebook at Triumph Printing Co. Or you can contact Matt directly at triumphprintingco@gmail.com. Don't you sweat.